Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're listening to the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. Welcome back. All right, I'm all by my lonesome today, and that's just fine. Well, not really. I got Jack.
Yeah, I'm here if you need me. Just let me know.
I always need you, Jack. We were lost without you last week. Jack had a blowout, big things here. So he missed last week's show, and it didn't feel the same, you know, Jack? Something was off. No offense to Evan, who did a great job.
Sometimes your tires blow out. You
know? But I think Evan kind of looks at me as a big radio guy, where you're just like, it's lowly old Chad. I don't care. I'll jump in at any point, interrupt him, fact check him, correct him. And we love that on the Wild Game Domain, as a matter of fact. So here we are, all by my lonesome, and we're going to talk turkey again. And I know if you're tuning in, you're saying, oh, this guy, he's always talking turkey. Yeah, well, it's spring, and that's our next season. May 1st, as you know, is the beginning of the 31-day New York State spring turkey hunt. And we have 31 mornings from a half hour before sunrise to 12 o'clock in the afternoon to get it done. Two male turkeys, hopefully mature, bearded, toms at the end of the day. You know, and that's, of course, minus family, my family interfering with my hunts. You know, my daughter is receiving her communion. Apparently that's important. I got to be there for that. A lot of things going on, lacrosse games in the spring out of Long Island. I'm not going to have 31 days to get it done. So we talked about some of the tactics and getting aggressive out in the field. You only have a few hours, so laying back against a tree calling for those couple hours is great if the turkeys come to you. But if they don't, we need to get up. We need to use our skills, our woodmanship, as we call it, and get out on the trail looking for these turkeys. But today I thought we'd start with, kind of understanding the, what do we want to call it, the anatomy and traits, just overall understanding this animal, this brilliant animal, this beautiful animal that we're hunting. And Ben Franklin wanted to make it the national bird, forget the bald eagle. He was like, the turkey, it's smart, it's fast, it's aggressive. He wanted to make that our national symbol. And luckily he didn't. I kind of like the eagle. But by understanding the animal we're hunting, I think we have a better appreciation of it. To me, it always enhanced the hunt and, just made it more special. I'm passing it on to my son now. This year is going to be his first real turkey hunt, opening day. He'll be out with me, and he's been practicing his calls. We're not going to do any calls today. We did all the calls last week. Understanding, the basic overall life function of these birds, it makes you a better hunter, a more mature hunter at the end of the day. So that's what we're going to do. And then we're going to talk about at the end a great recipe I have. As you know, to me, when I'm on my property and we're outside a hunting camp and someone brings back game, one of the guys I hunt with, we always try to at least cook part of it that day, right then and there. It's part of our tradition. So we're going to talk about a tradition we have for barbecued turkey. 12 o'clock in the afternoon, where we're plucking the turkey and getting it on the grill. So that's, an outline of today's show. So these amazing wild turkeys that we love hunting, they grow very rapidly within the first few months of birth. The average turkey weighs about 14 to 15 pounds within 10 months of birth. And that's, that's obviously a rapid growth period for those first 10 months. And I think if we all admitted to ourselves the size of the turkeys we shoot. You know, they're all around average turkey in New York State's probably anywhere between 17 and 20 or 15 and 20 pounds. So we're really, most of our harvest opportunities happen on the younger birds. You know, maybe that bird's a year old at most. The mature birds are going to obviously go up in weight. So, you know, toms at birth will weigh, you know, ounces. They're small. They hatch and then the rapid growth starts. As adults, gobblers typically will get around, you know, depending regionally, you know, the 17 to 22 pounds. And that's a nice full adult turkey. I've had one turkey larger than that I've taken. It was a 28 pound turkey. It was big as a 26 pound turkey. And, you know, I'm assuming that turkey was 10 years old, give or take. They typically stand anywhere between 36 to 40 inches tall, you know, big, tall bird. But it, again, varies greatly from region to region. A mature Easton tom, you know, down south may weigh 16 pounds and be, you know, 32 inches, 34 inches tall, while, you know, some big old gobbler in Iowa might be weighing a whopping, you know, 28 pounds, 26 pounds. You know, so depending on the kind of turkey it is, where that turkey is, that's going to play a big part of it. You know, the Osceola turkey down south, that I've never hunted, truthfully, it's on my list just for the sport of it, because it's a great turkey, and it happens to be the smallest of all turkeys. It's very streamlined, very fast, very alert gobbler. You know, so in that subspecies of turkey, you know, you just find all the general traits of the turkey exist just on a smaller scale. In all the subspecies, hens are noticeably, remarkably smaller than the toms. You know, maybe an adult hen weighs somewhere between 8 to 11 pounds in comparison. That's about what you could expect out of a female turkey. Still good eating. And in the fall, we're allowed to take the female, you know, the hen. So, you know, that's a nice eating turkey, 11 pounds. But in the spring, we're looking for those mature gobblers, you know, those toms. And we're looking for something that, you know, the 20 pound, above 20 pounds, somewhere in there. The hens only stand about 30 inches tall. Why is that important? You're like, why do I care? You know, they either have a beard, which we're going to get to if you don't know what a beard is on a turkey, or, you know, it's easy to identify the male turkey by when he's strutting. But, you know, it's important for quick identification and for how we call these turkeys in. So I'm sitting on the edge of a field, 80 yards across that field. I see the turkeys breaking in from the wood line, you know, and now I have a couple of decisions to make. I have to, first of all, identify those turkeys. I may not be putting binoculars up to my eyes because I, you know, even at 80 yards, the awesome vision of these turkeys, they'll pick up any movement. So I'm sitting there, calls in my lap, you know, camouflage from head to toe, and I need to identify hens. How many hens are here? Are they all hens? Do I even have a male turkey in this group? And then respond in my calling. You know, if it's a bunch of hens and a gobbler and a male, one or two male turkeys, I may want to get aggressive, try to pit them against each other. If it's all hens, I may start calling very lightly, trying to attract the hens. I don't want to bring them all the way in. I want to maybe use a call that makes them curious where they're coming in. Maybe if it's all hens, I want to go the other way and do, you know, tom calls, gobbles, and see if any of these hens are still open for some mating. Maybe they'll come in. So, you know, just seeing the size difference in these turkeys helps you identify them at a range that'll allow you to adjust your hunting techniques when we're going after these turkeys. So what we call hunters call the plumage. Back in the 40s, scientists discovered that a mature wild turkey's body is covered in about 6,000 feathers. And why do we care as hunters? You know, we obviously know they're covered. I mean, that's an amazing amount of feathers. And if you've ever tried to pluck a Turkey, which we'll talk about later, you understand where that number is going to bother us a little bit. So they have a lot of feathers. And these feathers come in all shapes and sizes, and really they serve so many functions within the life cycle of the turkey. They keep the birds warm. The harsh winters of upstate New York, you could imagine these birds exposed to the elements. These feathers are what give them a chance at the, especially this winter, bad long winter. So it also in the spring or in the rainy seasons will keep them dry. And obviously the feathers are there to help them fly. But they also use these feathers as a display mechanism or as a communication mechanism. You know, so a gobbler typically has about 10 to 12 large, beautifully stiff primary wing feathers, which are black and very prominent by their line of, I don't know what I want to call it, a white bar across the top of the feathers. And again, every turkey subspecies is going to have a little different marking or layout of these feathers. The Osceola, again, are very distinctive, mostly black, dark, very, very dark, with only thin traces of white in them. The turkey also has about 18 to 20 long, stiff tail feathers. These are obviously for you turkey hunters out there. You know, this is what we love to see. The gobblers, I guess they raise them. They rise them? Raise them. And then they fan these feathers out, these tail feathers out. And it's beautiful. And this is what we refer to as strutting. The turkey is strutting his feathers. On Eastern Osceola birds, doesn't really matter. The tall feather tips have some kind of design, distinctive design within that subspecies. And it's beautiful. And they might have variations in colors, design of these beautiful feathers, and the turkeys use them for various reasons, as a signal to, first of all, of their their ability to exist within the flock of birds. So, you know, they set up dominance by these tail feathers. Look at mine. I have 20 tail feathers and they're all beautiful and they're shining in the sun and they have different colors, gold, bronze, sometimes a little red or green in them. And so they use it as a way to ward off other male turkeys from their hens. They use it as a warning to male turkeys, but they also use it to draw attention to themselves from the hens. You know, the hens have a couple of choices, and there's three male turkeys all strutting out in the field. They're going to go to the biggest, strongest, and the one with the, you know, the most brilliant display of tail feathers. The beard I was talking about earlier, another big, you know, kind of, I guess I hate to even use the word because I'm not a trophy hunter, but a trophy at the end of the day on the turkey. The beard is that band of, or clump, whatever you want to call it, of stiff, it's stringy black filaments that grow from the gobbler's chest. The beard, as we know, is sought after by many hunters. The long beard of the turkey protrudes through the layer of body feathers and is visible at a distance. And, you know, really these beards start growing when they're about 6 months old. So as an example, in the spring of its first year, a younger Tom, has a 3 to 6 inch beard, give or take. And a beard grows 3 to 5 inches a year. So you could do the math there. So a 2 to 3 year old Tom, you know, has a beard of about, do the math, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 inches, somewhere in there. That is a huge beard. That is a big beard. Sometimes they're thick and shiny. Sometimes they're thinner and a little more nappy. I've seen gobblers in the wild. I've never taken one with 2 or 3 separate beards, that have grown kind of close together and they're separated. So, you know, I guess depending on the growth pattern of these stringy filaments, And how they come through the feathers, they may split up at certain points during those first, you know, during that first growth period. And they actually, you know, have multiple beards. There's turkeys with multiple beards on them. Hunters, you know, who have been lucky enough to harvest these animals, prize their multiple ropes, as we call them. The confusing part about all this, and that's why in the beginning of the show, when we talk about the hens and identifying them just as smaller turkeys, it's important because you can't identify male turkeys by beard. A fair amount, some hens, some female turkeys will end up growing beards by some genetic mutation. It happens. So don't be looking through the scope of your shotgun or with your binoculars and your blind with your archery gear, you know, and see a beard and say, oh, it's a male turkey, let's kill it. You know, look at the body type, look at the size of that turkey. Don't go strictly by the beard. So the beard, obviously, you know, one way of identifying, and also, you know, again, trophy. The wow, so much more to talk about. Jack, we may need a whole week to talk about turkeys because I'm looking up. I just looked up and it's 11:15 already.
Halfway point.
Halfway point, exactly. So we're going to take a short break here and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Redwattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and we're talking turkey again. So let's cut to the chase here. A few more distinctive anatomy parts I want to talk about on the turkey. The spurs of the turkey. All subspecies, all turkeys are born with this basically a small, I don't know how to describe it, knob, button, protrusion on their lower legs. And for the hen, unfortunately, this button just stays there and they have a button there. They have a bump on their leg. For the tom, this button becomes what is known as a spur. We call hunters look for big, mean spurs on the back of a mature tom. So a Jake, a younger tom, has round spurs, and those spurs would be less than a half inch long. And then you just kind of walk up the evolutionary scale here on the turkey's leg. And so a two-year-old tom typically has a thick spur that measures maybe, you know, a little less than an inch. And then we get into the gobbler. A gobbler that makes it 3 years or longer grows this curved, sharp hook that could grow up to, you know, 2 inches long. And that's about as good as they get, you know, if you could harvest a bird with a 2-inch hook. And they're nasty looking. I mean, Google it. If you're not a hunter and never seen one, I mean, they're mean. They're sharp. They're, you know, 2 inches long. It's a hook. It's a it's a defense mechanism. It's the defense. You know, they use it for fighting. They use it to ward off predators. They'll use it to fight. Male turkeys will fight each other for the love of a gorgeous hen. So they'll use these spurs to fight each other off. And you see weird genetic makeup on some of these birds. I've taken birds that had more than one spur on a leg. I shot a turkey last year. He had no spurs at all, and it was a big turkey. It was a 22-pound turkey or something, mature turkey that I had taken with archery equipment, and I had shot it at about 15 yards, 20 yards. I thought I made a good shot, but the turkey actually took off flying with this arrow protruding from it, and luckily I saw it go down and flopping around. I got to it, and I was very excited to, you know, first thing I always do is I go for the spurs. They're easily identified. You know, you see the legs sticking out, and I grabbed it, and this thing didn't have any spurs on it. So at first I thought, wow, I shot a female turkey, a big hen somehow, you know, in the confusion or in my focus almost, you know, watching this turkey. Maybe I just missed the signs that it was a female turkey. And it turns out, you know, it had a beard. It was a full-blown male turkey. Tail feathers. It just had not grown any spurs for whatever reason, and the leg was like just very smooth, almost like a chicken leg for some reason. And again, subspecies of turkey, they're all going to have, you know, varying sizes or varying averages on these spur sizes. All right, the vision. Here we go. Now we get into some tactics again, tying it all together. This is the number one defense mechanism of the turkey. You know, so for us deer hunters, we're concerned with the smell, you know, of the turkey. With the deer. You know, we want to hunt downwind. We want to make sure we're using our scent control. Deers have this amazing ability to smell. Turkeys, luckily, don't have that, but they have brilliant eyesight. Their eyes are set on the side of their head. And the thing that really helps them with this eyesight is their ability basically to see 360 degrees. These turkeys can basically turn their head around. You know, a turkey can twist that long neck and extend that neck and go 360 degrees, which, you know, basically means it has eyes in the back of its head. So if it identifies a sound or a movement, it will be able to move rapidly to identify that movement. And hence the head to toe camo. And usually we're staying in place, trying to call these turkeys in. Turkeys have poor night vision. We can't hunt them. We don't hunt them at night. But it sees, you know, it sees crisply in the daylight, and almost comparable or better than a human's 20/20 eyesight during the day. And these, I don't know how to put it, not that they're robots, but this laser-like vision is going to be able to lock on any kind of movement at a distance. And if the turkey doesn't like or can't identify what that movement was, they're not going to take a chance. Part of their survival mechanism is going to tell them, there's nothing over there that I need to see that bad. That could be a coyote. That could be a human with a shotgun. Let's stay out of that area. So, you know, that's the challenge for us, avoiding being spotted by these turkeys. The other thing, unlike deer, turkeys can actually see some colors. Both the hen and toms think certain shades of blues, reds, and whites. And they think this comes from their ability to identify gobblers by their tail feathers. So if you have any blue, red, or white, you're making a big mistake when you're hunting these turkeys. They'll identify those colors and key on that very quickly. So they key on this because it stimulates their ability to mate. Stimulates their urges to want to fight other toms. you know, finding the alpha tom. If they see a lot of white on a tail, they may identify this tom as an alpha turkey and want to prove that they're up to the fight. So, you know, you gotta camouflage from head to toe. As far as hearing, they don't have ears or flaps. They don't have, you know, an ear like most animals or humans, but they have pretty acute hearing. They have small holes in the sides of their heads, and they obviously respond to sound very well. No one's really did a big study on this, but, you know, the ability, we know they have great hearing by the ability that they respond to our calls at great distances. I could do a small hen call, a very low hen call, and these turkeys will respond to it. So, you know, even throwing my shotgun off of safety, you know, from a distance of 30 yards, I forgot to take it off safety earlier. I've seen turkeys key on that sound. They've heard click, and their heads whip around, and they're looking in my direction. Hopefully, most of the time, as soon as I'm clicking it off safety, the end comes very quickly at that point for them. But they have great, great ability to hear. They're very mobile animals. They have the ability to be spooked very easy. They're how would we say, extremely skittish in the field, and this is how they elude the animals hunting them. Foxes, bobcats, hawks, all predators. You know, so if they hear a branch break, they hear a something coming out of the tree, they're going to move, and they're going to move quick. And you know, you could see when I've seen it happen to me, either by me spooking them or something else out in the woods. You know, it's a pretty cool thing. You see, and you've probably seen it and maybe not even realized what was happening. You know, you see this gobbler in complete, or this big tom, majestic tom strutting. You know, his tail feathers are up, his head's bobbing. And then all of a sudden you'll see him break that pattern or that strut. And then he'll just kind of jump up or hop maybe, you know, 5 or 6 feet to the right or left, and then stand in that spot and just stare in that direction. And, you know, it looks like he's trying to burn a hole through that area. It's a pretty amazing thing. And, you know, it could be anything. I've seen crows or birds fly over the turkeys in a field, and I didn't see any of them look up, but they saw the shadow of a crow flying over, and they've taken off for the cover of the woodline. A branch breaking, you know, they're not taking any chances. They're going to move away, and they're going to turn and start staring in that direction. It's a pretty amazing thing. So, only have a few more minutes here. I wanted to get into the turkey's courtship ritual of the spring, which basically brings about spring hunting, you know, the spring turkey hunt. But I want to get a recipe in here because I think a lot of hunters I talk to say, I don't even like wild turkey. I try to give it away. I freeze it. It's still sitting there. And I don't disagree in some ways. Over the years, I've come up with some recipes. I like to grind a lot of my turkey. I'll make ground turkey out of it and then do meatballs, sausage. I'll do a lot of turkey burgers during the, you know, spice up the ground turkey and then do some nice burgers on the grill during the summer, which ties in nicely with the time of year. You know, you go out and harvest these animals in the spring, and then they're on the grill at the beach in the summer. So it's great. So my partner and I, who hunt together a lot, we have this ritual, we'll call it, that if we harvest something, we're going to eat some part of that animal in the field at our camp outside, weather be damned, and we're going to enjoy that animal, and we're going to have an alcoholic beverage, and we're going to sit back and enjoy, you know, we'll call it the fruits of our labor. So last year we did this thing where I was kind of unprepared for it, and usually, you know, you got to realize leading up to turkey, a spring turkey hunt, Joe, my partner, and I, and the kids, we hunt our kids. We're talking recipes. You know, we've already ironed out our strategies, our calls. We each know what, you know, who's going where, who's doing the calling, who's doing the shooting. We have a whole system for that. So the week before, it's just, all right, if we get a turkey, how are we cooking it? Should we do this? Should we bring the Weber? Are we going to have the grill? So last year, I decided, you know what? We couldn't decide on anything. We were going to do kebabs. Should we bring the grinder, try to grind some of the meat, have burgers? And it was like the day before, I said, Joe, don't worry. We're going to do barbecue turkey. And so, you know, we were lucky enough on opening day to harvest. Not me, my partner. I got one later, but he took a beautiful, mature turkey. And so taking this field dress, the turkey, and then we got to dry pluck the turkey. You know, a lot of times with other animals, chickens, you could boil them a little bit, scald the chicken or other birds, and then the feathers come out easy. Other times, you know, you could just skin the thing with the feathers on, but that's such a waste. The skin of a turkey is actually really thick, gets nice and crisp and delicious. So we dry pluck turkeys, and, you know, a big mature turkey that could take me an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, plucking 6,000 feathers out of a turkey. But there you are. You got this beautiful, clean turkey. And then so we decided to make a barbecue sauce, which we'll talk about in a second. We put the barbecue sauce on the hot side of the grill, got it reducing. So we set up the grill in direct heat. On a direct heat, we're making the barbecue sauce. And then I decided, you know what? Let's just take the thighs, big thighs of the turkey out. So, you know, hacked out the thighs. And, you know, so the prep time on this out in the field is very quick. It's spring, so I brought some asparagus. I had some spring potatoes that I put on the grill earlier. You know, so I had these two big turkey thighs, and I brought a little vegetable oil, some butter, medium to large onion, chopped up very finely. We always have bourbon, so I used bourbon. I brought a small can of crushed tomatoes, you know, like a half cup of tomatoes. And you always need vinegar, a little cider vinegar to take the sweetness out of the sauce. Maple syrup I decided to throw in there. I used about a half cup. A tablespoon of molasses. And then whatever you want. I like Tabasco sauce in there. Some nice salt, you know, salt up the sauce. And you mix that all together, put it on the grill, and start reducing. You want to reduce it, you know, depending on how thick you like. I don't like my barbecue sauce clumpy, but, you know, reduce it down about half, and you'll have a nice paintable barbecue sauce. So indirect heating, simply throw the turkey thighs, or any turkey parts for that matter. I mean, you could disassemble the whole turkey. I just did the thighs. But you could hack out the breast, take the legs out, take the whole thing, put it on the grill, and just using the indirect grilling method, you know, move them away from the heat as they get done. But, you know, 30 minutes or so on indirect heat, depending on temperature of your grill, how good your grill is. We got beautiful covered Weber, put it on the indirect. We're basically grilling that, the smoke collects on the turkey. And then just once it's, you know, nice and done, I like to cook my wild turkey done fully, start painting it. Basically, painting it with the barbecue sauce, and just leave it on there, and almost let that barbecue sauce caramelize on there over time. So this whole thing took us about an hour and a half, 2 hours on the grill. But you know, once you platter up those beautiful turkey parts and the homemade barbecue sauce and a nice glass of bourbon at that point, there's nothing better. So hopefully this helps you, hunters. Hopefully this entices you non-hunters to get out there and get your license and start hunting these beautiful wild turkeys. But unfortunately, that's all the time I have. And I'd like to thank my man Jack for producing and engineering today's show. And you could always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. You can also check out our new site, thewildgamedomain.com. Also, look us up on Facebook. Thank you. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org.
You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.